looking at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at a very familiar verse. And this is probably one of the most favorite verses of all the saints. And beloved, it is surely a verse that we need to hold near and dear to our hearts. And as we look here at our particular text, which will be verse number 19, we see that the Apostle Paul is extending appreciation to the believers at Philippi for their gracious contributions to that of sustaining his needs. And Paul is also in likewise assuring the people there that the very God that he loves and the very God that he serves is also the God that will supply all of their need. And beloved, let me say this to you in this hour, God is still supplying each and every one of our needs. But we're going to look at it just a little bit closer, and we may take you just a little bit deeper than what you might think that this verse will take us, but we'll see what God has. And may the Lord lead us by His Spirit in all that is said and done here tonight. And I want you to read this verse with me in unison, verse 4, and that of verse number 19. In unison, we'll speak there, beginning with the word, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I ask you this question. How many of you truly believe in what the Scriptures are declaring to us here? That my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We'll see what the Scriptures thus saith, and we'll see what the Spirit speaketh unto you. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness of this day. Thank you for the good service this morning, and what a blessing it was, Lord. And it is a blessing to be back with your people here, Lord, at Bible Way Baptist Church here tonight. So, Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you just hide me behind the cross. And, Lord, that you just speak thy word to the people here tonight. And, Father, if there be one here that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, God, may this be the night that they would come and give and surrender their lives to Him. Lord, there may be a child of God that's walking through a trial and a storm, Lord, and they have great needs, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to that one. And, Lord, may you surely convey to their hearts that you are still a God of supply and you're a God of distribution. And, Lord, that you'll supply all of our needs. And, Father, we'll just thank you and we'll praise you for whatever you do here tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. And God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Beloved, as we look at our text here, of that of Philippians 4:19, and again, I don't want to sound redundant in repeating the Scripture, but I think it's worth repeating. He says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, as we look at this, I think basically there are three categories that we need to look at as that of supplying our needs. Now, we could go down and we could subcategorize in these three different areas, but I believe that this will pretty well be the basics that we can look at as we look to God for the sustainment of all of our needs. But with that being said, I think first and what is most important is that God supplies our spiritual need. Beloved, I can remember when I had a great spiritual need, and I can say to you tonight, I still have spiritual needs. Day by day by day, I still need Him close to me. I still need Him speak to me. I still need Him to embrace me with His arms of love. Beloved, and those that does not know the love of Christ, those that never have been born again, those who have never come under the blood to the redemption and the atonement of their sins, beloved, listen, they have a spiritual need. I pray to God that everybody here tonight is saved, but there may very well be someone here that has never, my friends, received Christ as Savior. Beloved, you have the greatest of spiritual needs here tonight. But then, beloved, we see also that Paul is speaking of that of our physical needs. We have great physical needs, especially when you start getting up into years like this old preacher right here. But my friends, my God can supply that need as well as my spiritual needs. But then the third class that we'll look at here tonight is that of the supplying of our material needs. God can supply the material, God can supply the physical, and God can supply the spiritual. And beloved, I trust Him tonight that He'll supply all of my needs as He will supply yours. So with that, turn with me over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we will be looking at what is commonly referred to as the Bread of Life discourse. And in this, my friends, we're going to see that the spiritual awakening, the spiritual need that we have, it can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the way and the only way, beloved, that we can come unto salvation. But as we look here at the Bread of Life discourse, we're going to see, first of all, as we had already mentioned, first and foremost, we need to look at our spiritual need. Because, first of all, if our spiritual need has been fulfilled, all of these other needs that we have, beloved, they also will be filled unto us. But as we look here, we go into that of verse number 32. And you don't mind me preaching the Bible, do you? You don't mind me reading a little bit of Scripture, do you? Hey, listen, I'm not one of those preachers that read some verse and they're all over the Bible, and when you leave, you don't know what in the world he was preaching on. We're going to know exactly what God has to say to each and every one of us here tonight. But in verse 32 of John's Gospel, chapter 6, the Bible says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, beloved, in those words, and we see that this Bread of Life discourse, Jesus is surely giving us the bread in himself. It says, "And the Lord evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Beloved, we look on down into verse number 48. As Jesus continues on with this discourse, he says that I am the bread of life. He says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now notice Jesus kind of starts out just a little bit easy on this thing as he starts into this discourse. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. He gets a little more profound in that which he is going to declare unto these people who are following him. As we look here, he says, first of all, that I am the bread of life. And he is this heavenly manna that has come down, beloved, that we who partake of him shall have everlasting eternal life. But now Jesus is using some other language unto these ones, whereas he says of that of giving his flesh. He started out referring to himself as the bread. Now he is referring to that of his flesh to give, beloved, for that of that one who wants to secure eternal redemption. And praise God, let me say this to you, I wouldn't give a flying flip for any other kind of redemption except God's redemption, amen. Hey, listen, these church religions and church redemptions, beloved, does not hold you and it will not get you to heaven. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that will get you to heaven and his atoning work on Calvary's cross. But beloved, as we continue on, we see in verse 2 that the Bible says that the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" Now, beloved, listen, they were always disgruntled in that which the Lord was teaching. If we had even drift back into verse number 41 of this same text, the Bible says that the Jews murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." Beloved, let me say this to you. There's a lot of people murmuring and complaining and striving against our Lord because they don't like the truth. They don't want the truth. They don't hold to the truth. And the truth will set you free, Jesus said. Praise God, we got the truth tonight through God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on to say, and beloved, here he's really getting down
And you got to have some spiritual discernment to understand what the Lord is saying here and to get a hold of this. But I pray to God that you get a hold of it, especially those here tonight that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior. He says in verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Does anybody in here tonight believe that? Praise God, I believe it. I hold to it. And I've always said, if I end up going to hell, praise God, I'll be going trusting Jesus, amen. Glory to God, he'll get us there. I know and I'm assured of it. He says again, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." In verse 55, he said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Beloved, we've got to discern spiritual things with spiritual. We've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Jesus is saying to these followers, "I am the only way that you're getting to heaven." You may be offended. In fact, he asked the question on in this text, "Doth this offend you?" That of what he has declared unto them. But as I said, we've got to have spiritual discernment, and I pray to God that you do here tonight in that which is being said. Now, what we've got to understand is that the Scripture, the language that is given to us, beloved, they fall in three categories. And I don't know why I got the threes tonight, but there's nothing wrong with the three, especially when you're preaching God the Son and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. But, beloved, as we look in this, we can see that there are three things or three languages that the Bible gives us. Some of it is symbolically. Some of it is figuratively. And then some of it is literally. So what I'm trying to say to you, beloved, if the Scriptures is given to us that which is symbolic, we are to take the symbolic literally. You understand what I'm saying? Follow with me now. And then if the Bible is speaking of something figuratively, we are to take it literally that it is figuratively. You still with me? And then if the Bible says in that of the literal sense, we are to take it literal because it is literal in that sense. Everybody understand that little English class? Praise God. So, beloved, what Jesus is trying to say unto them, figuratively, unless you're under the blood, unless, my friends, you have come to the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission. There is no hope for glory. Praise God, He is the only way. And religion, my friends, will do nothing for you except send you to a devil's hell. God forbid that we fall into the devil's means and his trap. Beloved, let me say this to you. If you're not in a church, those that are visiting here tonight that's preaching the blood, praise God, you better get out and find you one that the preacher's not afraid to preach the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Hallelujah, amen. And then he goes and he says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" You understand what's really being said here now? Do you truly? Now let me say something to you in this regard. These ones are referred to as disciples. Now let's just stop just a moment if the Lord will help me. We'll just have a little bit of a Sunday school class here on Sunday evening. Just because the word disciples is there in the Bible in relation to Christ does not mean that these disciples are true believers. Y'all still with me? Now let me say this. At this particular time, Jesus and his ministry and his work. He had a great following. And in this following, my friends, they were curiosity seekers. They followed him to see his miracles. They followed him for the benefits of what he was doing in his ministry work. Hey, listen, beloved, they were no more following Jesus Christ by faith than that, my friends, of the devil himself following Christ by faith. These individuals, listen, they can be called disciples, but beloved, you can't be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ until you've been born again, until you're truly his. But as we look here in the Word of God, beloved, we can surely see that the discipleship, beloved, is simply meaning that of a fallen. Can I say this to you tonight? The Hollywood celebrities, they have a great falling. We can refer to them as disciples. Hey, listen, our political arena, my friends, and those up there that are honored and given the prestige and the pop, listen, they have maybe a great following, and those would be their disciples. We've got all the sports heroes that many of the people follow, and those, my friends, that follow these ones can be considered as disciples. And let me say something else to you. Even Satan has his disciples, my friends, and they're working overtime trying to wreak havoc on the church and on people's lives and everything, my friends. Listen, beloved, these ones did not understand. It says many, therefore, of his disciples, when they'd heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Now, I read that to you one more time, and I gave you a little explanation, and I'm going to conclude with this on this part of the matter right here. As we see this, it wasn't, beloved, that they did not understand what Jesus was saying. You got to be careful how you discern the Scriptures. As I said, you got to rightly divide the Word of truth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It wasn't that they didn't understand. The problem was they didn't want to understand. They didn't want to hold to that of the teachings of Christ. And beloved, he says, who can hear it? Beloved, they had ears to hear, but they rejected the very counsel of God. So they were without excuse. And then the Bible says, because they couldn't have the religion their ways, they turned back and refused to follow him any further. In fact, the Scripture says unto us, now I want you to notice, and I'm going to go ahead and pick up here with verse 64 just a moment. Now notice what I'd already said, that not all disciples are true believers. They can be followers, but not true believers. Our churches are full of followers in this day and time, but they're not all true believers. He says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning, and the reason he knew from the beginning, because he's omniscient, praise God, and he says who they were that believed not and who should betray him. See, Jesus knew these ones that would not, my friends, follow him in the truth when he started preaching truth. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. A good way to weed your church out, and I'm not here. It's not my responsibility. It's not my duty to do this. But a good way to start weeding the church out and getting people right for God and getting people either, my friends, at the altar or getting them out the back door is start preaching the truth of God's Word. If the preacher will get here and he'll pound that pulpit week after week. Now listen, beloved, I think we ought to always do it in love and compassion for the lost sinner. Praise God, let me say, we ought to be weeping over the lost sinner. We've got family members dying and going to hell. And where is our weeping in the last days, beloved, before they perish into that of the devil's hell? But my friends, we surely need to be busy and going forth in doing the works that God has set us here to do. But then we see in this regard, the Bible says that they had turned back. In verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, you may differ on what I'm getting ready to say. I believe in all of my heart, if you love the Lord and you hold to him because he has saved you and he has redeemed you, yes, I believe you can get backslidden. It happens all the time. But praise God, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you can stay in a backslidden condition. I look at the Apostle Peter. Remember when he denied the Lord? The Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. Beloved, how long of a space of time do you think that was? Could you give it maybe 1 hour? Praise God, Peter was what? He was backslidden for 1 hour. And he saw his condition. He saw that he had backslid. And I realize there's folks say, well, now, preacher, backslidden is not in the New Testament. That's the Old Testament and backslidden Israel. Praise God, I'm going to tell you something. If you're away from God and you're wavered, praise God, you're backslidden from God. I don't care who you are. And that's just good preaching, amen. And that's preaching the way that it should be preached. But here, beloved, we see that they had gone away and they had strayed, my friends, and they didn't want any part of this. And I just don't believe, my friends, and I know how it is when I get a little bit off course through my time past of how. And I don't care, and I'm trying to express this to you in love and compassion. Beloved, we've got to understand here tonight that I believe if we're truly the children of God, we're going to be the most miserable people on earth when we're not walking in the fellowship of God who has brought us into the relationship with God. If you don't need to go to church, read your Bible, pray, witness, and everything else, my friends, you better do some deeper checking than just thinking you're backslidden. Amen, preacher. Let's look here just a little bit farther. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? The group, the crowd, has dispersed. And Jesus' little closest disciple band, I'm talking about believers, is there with the Lord. And Jesus said unto those 12, will ye also go away? And old Peter, being the Baptist that he is, always wanting to be the spokesperson for the group. And he looks unto the Lord and he says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, these other ones, they gave up and missed and walked away from their opportunity. Jesus come to them with what? Spiritual healing. They had a spiritual need. And beloved, they passed the opportunity by. Let me say to you, and you know what I'm saying is right, there will come and can come a time, beloved, when you have passed away and you have put off the Holy Ghost moving upon your heart to have you to come and be saved, that God will not dwell with you any longer. Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. They turned and walked away. Jesus said to Peter, will you also walk away? Now I like the words of Peter. Peter was a robust man. He was a fisherman. And he was kind of like this old country bumpkin preacher that you're looking at here tonight. No, I'm not real articulate. I'm not spit and shine. I'm kind of rough around the edges. Hey, listen, you could say amen to that. Say, yeah, preacher, you're right about that, and you are kind of rough around the edges. Praise God. I hope I don't never get smoothed out like this rest of this religious crowd. I hope I stay rough around the edges, Brother Steve. But Peter says, to whom shall I go? Now notice Peter didn't say, what shall I go to? He said, oh, this hasn't worked out. Look what's happened. We've lost all of our following. We've lost all of the congregation. What are we going to do now? What kind of religion are we going to turn to? What are we going to start trusting in? What are we going to do? No, Peter didn't say what. Peter said, to whom shall I go? He's speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. And listen, beloved, anybody that remembers something in English, all things, but all things, are either a person, place, or thing. Listen, beloved, to go to something else, the what, would be another thing. Too many people have gone to other things in this day and time. Other things of religion they have turned to. But Peter said, what can we go to? What kind of religion can we go to? What kind of sacraments can we turn to? What kind of celebrations can we... Hey, listen, thou hast the words of eternal life. And you notice he didn't say where, neither. Well, you know, the preaching up there is too hard. It comes down on you and skins you alive, stomps all over your feet, and then the pastor smiles at you and says, I love you. Praise God, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't be preaching like that. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. When he stops preaching to you like that, that's when he don't love you anymore. He's more concerned about having a number and having a church than he is for the welfare of his people. His flock that God has entrusted him with. And I believe you got a good man right here. I believe that. I truly believe that. Not where. Well, I'll leave Bible Way and I'll go down here to the First Baptist Church. Or I'll go down here to the Victory Baptist Church. Or I'll go to Grace Baptist Church. Or I'll go to Covenant Baptist Church. Hey, listen, you can put any name there you want to. I understand we got some folks from Good Shepherd. Hey, listen, you can go to Good Shepherd if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason our churches are in the shape that they're in right now and people are sitting in their congregations and dying and going to hell is because they hip-hop listening around every church, because if the preacher preaches too hard in one church, they run right down to the next one, and sooner or later they find something, beloved, that fits their lifestyle religion. Amen. And there's enough of them out here, praise God. All these fellowship movements, I probably shouldn't be preaching this, but it'll be all right. This may be my last time here. Brother Steve, all right, get my licks in. Steve ain't saying anything. He's got to stay here. But it's not where. It's to whom. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're truly looking to the same person that Peter was looking to, that of being the whom in the person of Jesus Christ, hey, listen, it doesn't matter where you go that you're preaching the Word of God. Hey, listen, you can stay there and you can handle it, amen. Amen. And you will stay with it. You'll develop a hunger and a thirst about you where I've got to have more of the truths of God. It used to be in the olden days, and I'm old school, and I'm not ashamed to say it, but folks get a little bit offended that a preacher got on their toes. They'd run down to the next church, and that preacher would get all over their head. Oh, I can't handle this! And then they take off, Brother Steve, down to another church and walk in there and hear that preacher's preaching hellfire and brimstone and backsliding and sin, praise God. I'm not talking about just the word sin. I'm talking about naming the sins, amen. You don't hear that much in the church anymore, neither. Name them. I've never been afraid to name them. You know why? Because a lot of them, if not most of them, I have committed, and I'm an expert on them, amen. Yeah. Hey, don't you look so saintly tonight. You are too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just old, rotten, dirty, no count, poor, miserable, naked, wretched sinners saved by the grace of God. Hey, that's all. That's all, as the country boy says. That's all I is. Hallelujah. You don't mind if I just preach a little bit, do you? To whom shall we go? And Peter just simply said again, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. And, I like that conjunctive word and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. These followers, these unsaved disciples, they had a spiritual need. They couldn't see it. They rejected it. They rebelled against it. And they walked away from it. And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You know why? Because Peter got the full dose. Peter wasn't a perfect example, beloved, in the Scriptures, but neither are any of us. Praise God, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, listen, beloved, I fail Him day to day to day. I have failed Him today. That's the reason, one of the reasons I preach. God knows my heart the way I do. Because I set myself as the example of what not to be. That Christ can make me what I need to be. Why? Because He shall supply all of my need, even that is spiritual. Now, I've got a question, and you can go ahead and move over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I got a question for you. I don't want you to answer audibly, but answer within your heart. And remember, you're standing before God. You don't have to utter a word. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you. Hey, you can't pull the wool over His eyes. You might pull the wool over the preacher's eyes or mom and dad or son and daughter or a husband or a wife, but you can't pull the Lord. Let me ask you this question. How many of us have ever thought about this? In that of a form of a question I give to you. We who make professions of faith, we trust the Lord for our salvation. We trust Him with our souls. Is that not right? You better trust Him. You don't have anyone else to trust. You can't trust some of the preachers in this day and time. That's just the truth. You can't trust this anything. You can't trust that. You can't trust. You better have your trust placed in the one that you can trust, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this question. If you have placed your soul into the hands of Jesus for your eternal habitation, why is it, beloved, that we cannot trust Him with all of the other things and needs of our lives? Boy, that's a blockbuster, isn't it? You know, I can't wrap my little old feeble mind around that, brother. I can't do it. How you could trust somebody with your soul to keep you out of hell, to live in heaven for eternity, but you can't depend and you can't trust, you can't put faith, you can't put confidence for Him to take care of your every daily need. Amen. And we all have failed. I have never seen the like. Oh, I know that I'm saved, but woe is me. I just don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. Can I just simply say that's dumb? And besides that, my friends, it is faithlessness. Now, notice how I said that. Faithlessness in the Lord that saved you. You know what? I'd be embarrassed to have to stand before Him one day and say, Lord, I trust You with my soul. I made it. But Lord, I'm so sorry that I didn't trust You for all the other things that You've given unto me. Why, oh my, oh my. What reproach could we bring on Him as such? Murmuring, complaining, I hear so much of it from God's people. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have something else. I've got this problem and I've got that problem. I just don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know this. I don't know that. And I don't know something else. But beloved, let me say something to you from this preacher tonight. I do know one thing, that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Let's look here just a moment. Y'all with me in Matthew chapter 6? I heard one of you, man. Let's get a little larger group here. I hate to preach to one person here. Matthew chapter 6. This is what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And it covers that of chapters 5, 6, and 7. And as our Lord speaks here, beloved, we're going to pick up with verse number 25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" In other words, taking thought simply means to worry about what is developing here. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Did you catch what Jesus is teaching here? Now we know that he provides the spiritual need. Evidence in just one part of the scriptures that we've looked at tonight. But here, beloved, he supplies that which is physical and that which is what? Material. Isn't that what the Word of God says? I'll read it to you one more time. He says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat?" Beloved, that's for the physical. "Or what shall we drink?" Beloved, that's for the physical. "Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" That's the material. He'll take care of your physical. He'll take care of the material things. He will supply all of your need. That's the Word of God. Now, we either believe that or we don't believe it. And beloved, we either trust in it or we don't trust in it. Now, I want to just give you just one little verse of Scripture. And I want you to jot this down if you not already have it. And beloved, in the next time that we want to murmur, we want to complain, we want to shake God's goodness in His face and tell Him that He's not doing and taking care of His own, let me say this to you, beloved. Mark it down. Romans 14 and 23, it simply says unto us, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Did you catch it? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So every time, beloved, we worry, we fret, we agonize, and we doubt God, we're sinning against God. Boy, it really got quiet on that one. Think about it. Faithlessness. I ask you again, as I asked you the question just a little while ago, if He saved your soul, can He not handle these other things too? And I say this to you tonight. If you doubt His physical means, His material means to supply to you, and if you're doubting your salvation, my friends, you're simply not trusting in Him. Hey, listen, if you've asked God to save you and you truly ask Him from the heart to save you, I want to make this point to you tonight. If you've truly asked God to save me, repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and heart, beloved, let me say this to you. Praise God. It is settled. Settled. Don't bring it up. The devil will help you enough. Do you not trust in His Word? It's settled. physical, material, and most importantly, that of the spiritual. Now let me say this to you, where we fall in the pit sometimes is we can't decipher, we can't discern, and we can't categorize truthfully within ourselves of what our needs are and what our wants are. Hey, listen, beloved. I can want a Cadillac, but really all I need is a Volkswagen. Both has four wheels, brother. It'll get me from point A to point B. If I say to God, Lord, I need a car. And God gives you a car, and you sit there and say, well, my goodness gracious, Lord, can you have done better than this? This is only a Volkswagen. Where's my Cadillac? Huh? He didn't say he'd supply you a Cadillac. Amen. Praise God. It's good that we've got a sense of humor. It's good that God's got a sense of humor, or we'd all be in hell tonight. Hey, listen. I don't need a mansion on a hilltop. I got me a comfortable little spread right here on earth. And you know what? It don't even belong to me. Yes, there's no note on it. It's paid for, but it still don't belong to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, that shows you how far my tent stakes are driven. Praise God, the world can have it tomorrow. They can have it tonight. I'll just meet Mama going up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, listen, beloved. I don't need the finest of clothes. I'll just keep on wearing these old Stafford J.C. Penney stuff. Brother Steve, you wear J.C. Penney suits. I don't need a $1,000 suit. Hey, listen, when you preach like this, this old country bumpkin preacher, praise God, hey, listen, I can wear a suit out in no time. I'll sweat it to death. I don't need anything any better. And I don't want anything any better. I don't even want a steak sandwich. Bologna's just fine with me. One bad thing about it is bologna's about as high as steak anymore. I could want steak every meal, but I'll settle for whatever. Hey, listen, I was raised in the coal fields of West Virginia. I was raised on taters and maters and beans and cornbread and buttermilk to the glory of God. And look what God made out of me with that. No, I ain't the best. And I'll trade my steak for your bologna sandwich any day. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I got to say this. I thought bologna, and I know the correct pronunciation is bologna, but if you're an old hillbilly, plow jockey preacher like I am, I can simply say it again. We call it bologna. And beloved, there ain't anything any better than taking you a slab of bologna, fold that thing in the frying pan, go ahead and cut you about four corners on that thing, and fry that thing until it looks like the kitchen's on fire, and that thing's just as brown as it can be. Take that thing off of there, praise God, and put it on a piece of loaf bread, and put your little bit of lettuce on there. Don't mess it up now, just a little bit of lettuce. Throw you a big slab of tomato on there, brother. Get you a big slab of onion and throw on that thing, and then get you a whole bottle of mustard. Don't worry about putting a squeeze top up on it. Take the top off and just dump that sucker on there until mustard is running over the sides of it. Then you've got you a real bologna sandwich. Woo! Hallelujah! It's good. So if you don't want your bologna, bring it to me. But I don't have any steak to give to you because, listen, I don't want it. Listen, folks, sometimes we got to be shaken and rattled a little bit. You know, we have become such a non-appreciative generation. You know what? I'm blessed. I am blessed. Let me say this to you. And I believe, let's praise God, I believe all of us could attest to this fact if we gave one testimony left another. Hey, listen, God has put a roof over my head. He's put clothes on my back. Praise God. He's put food on my table. And the best part of it all, He has put Jesus Christ into my heart. I can starve to death or thirst to death or freeze to death. But praise God, with Jesus in my heart, hey, I'm glory bound. Amen. That's the reason I said your spiritual need is the most important. And then I close with this. Back over here in John chapter 6, I want you to look with me. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, I'll just recite it to you. What did Jesus say after He told him about the raiment and what He told him about that of food and drink? Those words, but seek ye first. But seek ye first. Now, a whole lot of people misquote this verse. They say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's as incorrect as it can get. But that sounds like something that will be choreographed by the devil. But that's not what the Word of God says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God in what? And His righteousness. Amen. And all these things will be added unto you. But my God shall supply all your needs, spiritual, physical, material. How many tonight believe that? How many tonight here are lacking on the needs being met by our Lord? Brother Steve, I looked around, I didn't see any hands. So I hope that you're being truthful. And I know you are. Thank God. How many of us has wants? And then we complain because God doesn't supply the wants. You know what? Tonight I can honestly stand before you and say, I don't have want of anything physical. And yes, I've got physical infirmities, brother, like everybody else, as we start to age. I've got those things. And also the other materialistic things. Listen, I don't have want of any of those things, brother. The thing I wanted most, I've already got, is Jesus. And He fulfills my ever spiritual longing. I trust that you have that witness and testimonial about you tonight. Oh God, may He help us to be the people that He has created us to be. Let's bow for prayer.